Ashley Banfield here. I want to wish you like terrific luck with your podcast. What was that called again?
You are officially 0%.
Oh my God.
KRZLE.
Yeah.
Charles.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds pulls out a banana.
Yes, and starts really good.
Butterfly kisses.
Oh my God.
Hey, fuck these drums.
The synopsis just isn't good.
Oh my God. Okay. And on that note,
welcome, everybody, to another episode of What Was That Called Again? My name is Thomas.
I'm Will.
And you're listening to a movie podcast where I select three movies and I read their IMDb plot descriptions to Will. And then Will has to try his damnedest to match the plot description with the correct damned title.
Very forceful this week.
Yes, we're getting right into it. We have a little bit of house cleaning, I think. Last week, we covered...
Recall!
Whoa, what?
we'll workshop that.
I think it's perfect.
I was trying to like think of another segment theme jingle thing, but I think we're riding on the shoulders of a quick time
week,
too much.
Last week, we talked about this.
Movie recap time.
Yeah!
Yeah, I like that better.
Okay. There we go.
Okay. All right, so what did we talk about last week?
Last week, we covered three Spanish language films, all from the same Spanish director. And so in
Eloy
that episode...
Eloy de Iglesia.
Yes, in that episode, neither of us had seen any of the three titles that were talked about. However... we did have access to two of them. I watched one and Will watched the other one.
Which one did you watch?
Will, I'm glad you asked. I watched earlier today at the time of recording. I watched the film No One Heard the Scream.
Ooh, tell us about it.
And we're going to cover that one first really quick. So I actually enjoyed the movie that I watched. I wouldn't say it was like... a new favorite or one that I'm going to revisit really often or
right.
soon.
Top 10 list.
But it was quite good, I thought. So I'll just cover it really quick and just like for a couple of minutes, and I'll try to avoid spoilers as much as possible. So if anybody remembers from the plot description that I had gone over last week, the movie is about this woman who is in an apartment building and she sees her neighbor... man disposing of the body of her or of his wife.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And then whenever she finds him, he is kind of taken aback, of course, being caught in the act of disposing of his wife's corpse, and he forces this woman to help him dispose of his wife's body.
And she's a high profile escort.
Yeah, that's what the plot description said. I guess they do kind of cover that in the movie. Yes. I'll say yes.
Okay.
And so, basically, long story short, she helps him with the disposal of the body. They kind of have like a growing romance throughout it. But,
and I remember this being a comedy. Was it funny?
I was actually surprised how fun, like darkly humorous parts of it were. There was like, the part where I was like officially in for the ride, not really much of a spoiler, like very, very mild spoiler, but he throws the body down an elevator shaft. And
okay.
There's a part where so she catches him and he forces her to help him dispose of the body. And there's a part where they start going down the elevator. And whenever he like sees blood, he stops the elevator to like clean off the blood. And he's like, yeah, I figured she was going to hit it, like every beam on the way down.
Oh, gosh.
And so they like go down a few floors and there's like, but on one of them, because on most of them, it's just like streaks of blood. And he just has like a rag and like some liquid and he's just like scrubbing it off. On one of them, he's like scrubbing the blood, but there's like a chunk of like hair and flesh.
That was like, oh
fucking god. And yeah, I thought that actually kind of cracked me up in like a very dark humor kind of way. And that was kind of the moment that I was in. But anyway, yeah, I did really enjoy it on my my personal rating. So this would be an excellent time to plug.
Ooh,
we have officially set up a What Was That Called Again Letterboxd account. So if anybody listening has Letterboxd, give us a follow. Search WWTCA pod on Letterboxd and you will find our account. My personal Letterboxd account, I marked this movie. I gave it 3 out of 5 stars and I gave it a like. I enjoyed it. The last thing that I'll say really quick, I was very with it for the first like 3 quarters. And then it kind of hit a point where it hit a wall and I kind of was like, all right, let's just get through this and then get over. And then, it caught me again the last like 10 minutes of the movie or so.
Interesting.
It grabbed me again and I'm not going to say why. And then it ended and I was like, that was a good ending. Yeah. So yeah, it was a good 3 out of 5 in my personal opinion.
Okay.
And then,
and speaking of Letterboxd, just to wrap that up.
Yes.
We will be posting fuller reviews eventually of all of the films that we have discussed on this podcast and also future ones. So if there's something that you would rather or you would prefer to know more about our opinions on, go to Letterboxd and figure that out, because we can't always get to those films on the show, at least not in depth. So
yep, that's right. And so you probably won't find this movie on our account just yet, because we literally just set the account up before we recorded this episode. So while I've marked the movie on my personal account, it's not on our podcast account. And
or it might be, who knows.
It could be by now. Do give us a follow. Once again, that is WWTCA pod on Letterboxd. We also have a list set up of every movie discussed on the podcast and every episode. So check that out. See what you've seen. Watch what you haven't seen. And then so that brings us to Will. Do tell me, what movie did you watch
to talk about? Murder in a Blue World is my film.
Now, let me ask you this, Will. Am I mistaken, or did we not use that movie as a jumping off point for last week's creative segment?
We did. So last week we discussed that, at least in our version, if not an assumed version of Murder in a Blue World, that the nurse in question had abilities that were out of this world. So the synopsis is of the actual Murder in a Blue World, is that a nurse tries to bring her own style of relief to miserable people, or ones condemned to die. Her identity is a mystery, and she may or may not be quite what she seems. So,
gee, Will, that's good memory.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I read that straight from my memory. So we didn't really understand what they meant by her own style of relief. We also didn't maybe understand what they meant by her identity being a mystery. So we had a creative segment that we enjoyed. It was about this nurse having telekinetic powers in that she could basically destroy the brains of patients and then transfer that life force or the soul or whatever to a nearby patient. And she did this to save a burn victim, and then later found out that that burn victim was actually an arson who attempted to kill his family. And she then regretted her actions in giving him this life force. It was a pretty interesting creative segment. I enjoyed the concept. I think you enjoyed the concept. Now on to the actual Murder in a Blue World, which had absolutely nothing to do with anything we said other than the main character being a nurse. That was it. So, I did not enjoy Murder in a Blue World. It's essentially a worse version, and I know there's like reviews out there that kind of contradicts what I'm about to say, but this is my personal opinion. It's a worse version of A Clockwork Orange.
And that's, yeah, there was, sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
There was some of the trivia on the IMDb page for the movie talks about the similarities. Yeah.
So not only are there similarities, they actually reference A Clockwork Orange by title in the movie. So in the first act, there's a family that is about to, they're just sat down for like, you know, family time watching TV, and the next movie coming up on the television, the announcer says, is A Clockwork Orange. They literally call it out. And then right as that happens, this gang of thugs in some like futuristic looking garb break into the house. I don't want to spoil much of it, but it's also annoying not much to spoil. If you've seen or know anything about A Clockwork Orange, there's a lot of similarities there. Interestingly enough, there was also, I had a sense that there was some elements in Murder in a Blue World that are actually also in Funny Games, of all things. As far as like how the guys that break into the home, or like the home invasion aspect of it, how they kind of play with the family a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not to say that there's any, you know, intentional connection there, but I did kind of sense that. Sure. So I thought at first it was going to be an enjoyable film. I was like, okay, you know, yeah, we're referencing Clockwork Orange, but this is going to be like a fun take on it. And then the movie went like 9 different directions. So what I just told you about the family and the Clockwork Orange and like the futuristic thugs has nothing to do with the nurse at all. Nothing. She's not even in that whole subplot. The nurse is just a nurse who doesn't want to be a doctor because she doesn't like the fact that doctors have to stick to like regimen and science. She likes that as a nurse, she can like connect with the patient and on like a more emotional level, or that's what she says. Mm-hmm. Then we find out that the doctors of this hospital that she works at are doing some kind of like psychological experiment a la Clockwork Orange on criminal types in order to like reset their brain to make them, you know, better citizens or whatever. Right. And she finds this out and she gets to witness this, and they keep hitting this thing over and over again. And I hate whenever films do this where like the characters will say a line or say something that's like directly referencing what the character right next to them is about to do or does. And it's like, we get it. So in this one, it's like these doctors who are doing these psychological experiments keep saying like the patients that are like the worst, these criminals, they're always men, and they're always like, you know, crazed homosexual men or whatever. And then she's like, oh yeah, that's crazy. And they're like, why? Like, it could never be a woman who does this. And she's like, yeah, it could never be a woman. And that happens like 3 or 4 times. The plot is loose at best, but for some reason she likes to disguise herself with wigs and then kill people who are lonely. Man, the energy just gets really low, like pretty quickly in this film. Not much happens. That's my long-winded review. You can read that whole thing, hopefully on Letterboxd in a more concise manner. But yeah, Murder in a Blue World was not, our version was way better.
It sounds like it. I liked our version.
Oh yeah, of course. I did too. I was hopeful that this one would be it, but I mean, this one was just so strange. I will say, I always like to try to, just to wrap this up here. I always like to try to like take something from movies that I don't like, right? And I don't know about your film, but in mine, like we got right into the action right away. Like the first act was like, get right into it. Mm-hmm. And then it was edited in a way that lengthy time was completely cut out. And by lengthy, I mean like, if there was anything, an action that would have taken 5 to 10 minutes, we just didn't see that. So they would be like, they would like walk into like a a lounge area and be like, we should get some drinks and hang out. And then like it would cut and they're like finishing those drinks. Like we never got to see them do anything else. And it was like, that's sometimes that's actually kind of good because it just keeps the pace going. Yeah. Right. But it was cool to see a film actually like, you know, understand that we don't have to see every detail, that you can understand that we're going to jump right into this action. We're going to. So I did like that. But otherwise, it was just it was not good. Not good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'll bury the lead on this week's movies really quick. Right up front, I have seen one of them.
Okay.
So that leaves two movies to be seen. I will say that the two movies that I have not seen in this week, I do own very recent Blu-ray editions of, that just came out pretty recently. We'll go over that here in a little bit. So for now, we can go ahead and just jump right in if you are ready.
Synopsis.
And we'll get into these summaries here. So your first one for this week is going to come from the year 1993.
Okay. Jurassic Park. Here we go.
Alrighty. So your second film comes from from 1993 here. Your IMDb plot description for the first film reads as follows. A young man tries to help a teenage girl find the serial killer who murdered her parents before the killer comes after them.
Ooh, okay. 1993, a young man tries to help...
A young man tries to help a teenage girl.
A young man tries to help a teenage girl find the killer who killed her parents before he... Killer comes after them.
Yes.
Okay. Ooh.
Straightforward.
I like
we
it.
We don't need to like give their names and describe like how they're feeling.
How was the house? Was nice, it a creepy house?
Straightforward summary this okay. week.
Next.
Your second one is going to be from 1975.
Okay.
And the IMDb plot synopsis for this one reads as follows. A beautiful stripper hires renowned criminals to exact revenge on those who raped her in her motel room.
Okay. 1975, a beautiful stripper hires renowned criminals to find the rapist.
To get revenge on those who raped her in her motel room.
Okay. To get revenge on those who raped her in her motel room.
Yep.
A beautiful stripper. Okay.
Yes.
Next.
And your final title, or sorry, your final movie for this week also comes from the year 1993.
Okay, Jurassic Park.
Not quite. And you'll see in this IMDb plot description, which reads as follows. A surgeon becomes obsessed with the seductive woman he once was in an affair with. Refusing to accept that she has moved on, he amputates her limbs and holds her captive in his mansion.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's not Jurassic Park by any means. At least not.
Sam Jackson gets his arm. Loses an arm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's close.
There is that.
Spoilers for Jurassic Park.
Oh, God. Okay, 1993.
Yeah.
Read this one again, because this one's kind of loaded.
Yes. A surgeon.
Surgeon. Okay.
Becomes obsessed with the seductive woman he once was in an affair with.
Okay.
Refusing to accept that she has moved on, he amputates her limbs and holds her captive in his mansion.
I mean, does he really have to hold her captive if she doesn't have any limbs? I think just wherever he puts her, it gets captive at that point in time. So, okay. So, 1993, a surgeon who becomes obsessed with the woman who seduced him and refuses to believe that she's moved on. And he then captures her, removes her limbs, and holds her captive in a mansion?
Yes.
Okay. That's a lot. That's a lot for 1993. That doesn't sound familiar at all. Or even feel familiar. Okay. let me try to recap the first two. The first one you said was 1993, and that one was first word again.
A.
Second word.
A young man.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Tries to help a teenage girl.
A young
girl.
Man helps a teen girl find the killers that killed her parents before they. The killers find them, basically.
It's described as a singular killer.
Oh, killer.
But yes, but the rest of it's accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The next movie is 1975.
Yes.
And that one was about... Give me the third word.
Stripper.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah. A beautiful stripper hires renowned criminals to find the... rapist who raped her in a motel.
Yes.
Sort of. Okay. I was close.
Yes.
Okay. And then the last one, of course, 1993, was about the surgeon who doesn't realize that the woman who seduced him has moved on. He's madly in love with her. And he then amputates her limbs and holds her captive in a mansion. Okay.
Yes.
Title me, please.
Okay. Your first title this week is going to be Matt. Boxing Helena.
Oh, Boxing Helena. That sounds familiar. Boxing Helena. Boxing Helena. Does that mean like packaging someone and her name happens to be Helena?
This is like a castaway. Tom Hanks is like packaging a woman. I don't know why I thought a castaway, but.
I didn't know either. Okay, Boxing Helena. Helena? Boxing Helena? Helena? Okay, so that doesn't sound like the young man helping the teen girl find the killer that killed her parents. That doesn't sound like that one at all. Is it the beautiful stripper? I kind of feel like it's the beautiful stripper. Or is it... Or is the surgeon infatuated with a woman named Helena, and then boxing means that he basically makes her into the shape of a box by cutting off her arms and legs.
Okay. Or is he just like prop her up, just beats the shit out of her?
She just becomes that dummy that you practice like, on.
Come on, put him up.
So mean. Okay, second title, please.
Your second title is Trauma.
Ooh, trauma. Trauma could be emotional or physical. That could go to any of them. So I have no idea. Third title, please.
Your third title, you're not going to like, is going to be Gina.
Oh, God damn it.
I assume it's Gina, not Gina. Yeah.
Gina, yeah, we'll stick with Gina. Gina.
Yeah.
I feel like Gina has to be the beautiful prostitute. The beautiful stripper, sorry. Just because it sounds like that one's from her perspective, and the title would infer that this movie is about her. Whereas the surgeon who's madly in love with this girl who just flirted with him once and then cuts her out.
He had an affair with her. An affair.
Well, okay, but I'm going to say that really she was just, you know, horny and they slept together and he thought that meant that like they were, you know, madly in love or whatever. That I'm going to say that.
Well, you got to put men down, huh?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying, yeah. is that trauma or is that, what was the first title again?
Boxing Helena.
Boxing Helena, that's right. Okay. Boxing Helena. Oh, man. if Boxing Helena is about turning a woman into a cube, oh, that'd be fucking hilarious.
Into a cube.
Okay. Okay. So I feel like trauma, like surgeons deal with trauma, like trauma units in a hospital, trauma literally cutting off her arms and legs. And then tortures her or holds her captive in a mansion, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be the emotional trauma of losing your parents and then, but I feel like that one's boxing Helena now, even though I said that for the beautiful prostitute one earlier. I don't know how that relates. Boxing Helena. Boxing her in, maybe? I don't know. That one's a weird one. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and lock in the 1975 beautiful prostitute hires renowned criminals to find her rapist as Gina. Is that like a Pam Grier movie? No. Anyway.
The classic Will asks the question out loud and then answers it himself immediately after.
It's classic. It works every time. So I'm going to go ahead and lock that one in. Gina's 1975.
Yeah.
I'm going to laugh so hard if I get this wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and say that that Trauma is the 1993 film about a surgeon who had an affair with someone and became madly in love with her, doesn't realize that she's moved on, cuts her limbs off, and holds her captive. That's going to be Trauma. And that leaves Boxing Helena as the other 1993 film where a young man helps a teen girl find the killer of her parents before the killer finds them. Final answer.
Okay.
And this week, that gives you 1 out of 3 correct.
Oh my gosh. Oh man.
Oh. What did we get?
It cannot be. Boxing Helena cannot be the surgeon cutting off the limbs. It can't be. It just can't be.
In making her into a cube woman.
Oh man, if that's that movie. So then that's not Trauma? Okay. Or maybe that one is Trauma. So maybe I'll stick with that one being Trauma. And I will switch Gina and Boxing Helena. So Boxing Helena is now the 1975 beautiful prostitute hires criminals to find her rapist. And Gina is the young man, helps a teen girl find the killer of her parents before the killer finds them. Final.
All right. And that gives you 0.
Oh my God. Please tell me. Oh man. Okay. Spill it.
All right. First, from 1993, you have the movie Trauma.
Okay.
Directed by Dario Argento.
Oh, nice.
93. Where a man tries to help a teenage girl find the serial killer. The teenage girl in the film is played by his real-life daughter, Ostia Argento.
Nice.
Who would go on to be a well-adapted woman, from what I understand.
I like the eyebrow raise that no one saw because it's odd. Yeah, it's good. Okay, moving on.
There was a kind of disturbing thing that I read about in the trivia on IMDb where she apparently talked about, I have not seen Trauma, but I do have a Blu-ray that came in like a Vinegar Syndrome bundle or something like that. Okay. But so she had talked about in some interview, I guess, so she was 16 whenever this movie was shot. She was actually a teenager, but she appears nude in the movie, apparently.
Oh, okay.
And she appears nude in the movie directed by her father.
Why? I have heard this, I think.
And she talked about,
I just didn't realize, like, what movie it was.
How disturbing that was for her, and how she like she mentions that she didn't know how to like approach the subject to him because she was like she just like didn't know how to bring it
everything
up.
Everything about it is problematic. Yeah.
And she said that she thinks, or she credits that for being like something that she considered to be traumatic to her, and that it, she feels it definitely impacted her, like who she is today.
Yeah.
Let me also add in really quick that it is streaming free with ads on Freevee and on Tubi.
So right, you can Tubi, watch it. Take that down.
This was Dario Argento's first American production, which I thought was pretty interesting. And he also tried to bring on frequent collaborator Goblin to do the score. But apparently the fantastic American producers said, nah, we don't want Goblin. We want something that would be a little more friendly to American audiences. And I guess they felt Goblin wasn't American audience friendly for some reason. So Goblin does not do the score for this, and that's why. So we're going to go on to the next one from 1975. It is Gina.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to probably get this wrong. It is from director who I'm going to guess is pronounced Denis Arcand.
Okay.
From what I understand, he is French-Canadian. This director would go on later to direct a 2003 film called The Barbarian Invasions, which I had not heard of, but it won the Best Foreign Language Oscar.
Really?
In 2003. This movie was, I don't know if it was his first movie, but it's a very early film in his filmography. At the time of recording, it did not seem to be available to stream anywhere. However, this one did get a Vinegar Syndrome release just a few months ago at the time of recording. Toward the end of 2023, it got a Vinegar Syndrome Blu-ray, which I did purchase because I thought it sounded very interesting.
Oh, the cover art is kind of nice, actually.
Yeah, they have awesome cover art over there.
So I at least was, I think, probably right in my first... I mean, that's the one I got right the first time around, was Gina.
Yes.
And I mean, clearly it makes sense because, I mean, it's a female name. It's from her perspective, I'm assuming. So I just couldn't believe that the other one was called Boxing Helena. So.
Yes. So your final film from 1993... is Boxing Helena.
Oh my gosh. So, okay, so she's really in a box. Is
no,
that who
she is on the poster.
Who is that? Who's the actor?
So,
looks familiar.
This film is written and directed by Jennifer Lynch, who is the daughter of David Lynch.
Never heard of him.
So this movie stars Julian Sands in the lead.
Julian Sands, that sounds familiar.
Sherilyn Fenn as the titular character. Bill Paxton.
Who's the box or Helena? Bill Paxton's in this. Bill Paxton's
great. Kurtwood Smith and Art Garfunkel. Rounds
out
the cast.
That's a curveball.
Jennifer Lynch wrote this script for this film whenever she was 19 years old.
And okay.
She wrote it in like 2 months. In an interview with LA Times in 1993, she said, quote, "No one wanted a young blonde girl to direct a movie," end quote. But all interested directors were more interested in making the film a straight horror film, which was not what she had in mind whenever she wrote the script. And she started to become very protective of the material that she had. She said that she really became more and more attached to the script, and she like gradually like fell more and more in love with what she had written. And
none of the notes that she got was about the title.
She said, "I was in love with the story, and it wasn't about a guy hacking up some beautiful woman that he wanted to screw. And though I never really wanted to go into film, that was Dad's thing, and I had so much respect for that. Or for what he did, that I just considered it all his. I started to have these fantasies that I should direct it so that it wouldn't turn into some horrible misinterpreted gore fest."
Right.
And I definitely respect that. And shout out to, I didn't notate the producer's name, so that's my mistake, but there was a producer attached who actually was the one who, in 1993, realized like yeah, a woman should fucking be directing this movie. This isn't something that a man should be making. He said that in an interview that he realized that it would be kind of politically incorrect to like have a man do this material. So yeah, I presume that the boxing Helena is in reference to her getting her limbs cut off, and so she is, as you said while you were thinking, she is boxed in. She literally can't leave. She can't go anywhere. Yeah, I actually...
Sorry. I just can't believe that is exactly what happened.
Yes. I had known about this movie for a long time, and it was not available. It is not available at the time of recording to stream anywhere. There is no physical copy you can get of the movie that I was able to find. However, our good friends at hopefully future sponsor SloppySecondSales.com was able to put out a Blu-ray edition of this pretty recently.
They will box that up for you.
It is, the Blu-ray contains a DVD rip. It contains a Laserdisc rip of the quote-unquote director's cut, which is literally like 30 extra seconds. And it actually has some bonus features, which I've never seen from a Sloppy Second Sales disc that I've bought.
Interesting.
It has like Laserdisc bonus features on it. And so it's got not Blu-ray quality, picture quality, but still, like, I've wanted to watch this movie for a long time. And
just sorry, I keep going back this whole time. You knew exactly what this is called, and you listened to me multiple times and be like, it cannot be this.
Yes.
And the fact that you kept it straight the whole time, I applaud you for that.
Thank you. Yes, that was difficult in all seriousness. Yeah, so Boxing Helena is kind of like a from what I understand, it was definitely one of those 90s home video classic type of movies. Okay. I think because of the nudity in it, because Sherilyn Fenn was very attractive, and you see her naked a few times.
Many in places the movie. To pause, is what you're saying.
I'm sure there were some VHS tapes that
had worn out
where
spots.
The picture quality degraded in moments. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it is. But no, I honestly enjoyed the movie quite a bit. I thought it was very interesting. It, like a 90s erotic thriller.
It does sound interesting. I'll give them that.
Yes. I very much enjoyed it, actually.
It's just the title. It goes up there. It's up there with, not quite the hatred that Butterfly Kisses brought to me. This is just disbelief. What this is. I love it. I love that it's called this.
That is amazing. Yeah. Watching this play out was an absolute delight. Okay. So with that rounded out of the way, what do you think we're looking at as far as the star ratings for these three movies?
This is tough, man. Cause I have no idea.
I will say we do have, this is close. It's hard to recall, obviously, but this has to be one of the most broad,
it's a broad
ranges
one.
That we've had. Okay. Yes. Like each one of them is nearly a full star differential between
them. Wow. Okay.
Close to it. Yeah.
I'm going to say that the spread is between upper four something, so 4 point something, to mid six. That's my spread. Now, which one is the lowest? I'll go ahead and say, I hope at least, that Trauma is the lowest. And then I'm going to say that Boxing Helena is middle. And then that leaves the third title that is escaping me as...
Trauma. Or, I'm sorry, Gina.
Gina, that's what it is. Gina, yeah. I'll say, is number one, easily. So Gina, Boxing Helena, and then Trauma is third.
Nearly hit it right on the head. You're usually pretty good at the rankings. So, yes, Gina is number one, from 599 IMDb ratings. It has a 6.4 out of 10.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Number two is Trauma. From 8,009 ratings at the time of recording, it has a 5.8. And that leaves, lastly, with 13,043 ratings, Boxing Helena with a 4.7.
Oh, wow. So I did almost nail the spread.
Yes.
I was just hopeful that Trauma was going to be last. So.
I know. I haven't seen it. But from so what then, I understand, it probably should be. Piper Laurie is also in that movie, whom Will would remember as Carrie's mom in the film Carrie.
Oh,
her, like, okay. Psycho religious mom.
Yeah, yes.
I know her from that, and she is a character who is also not too enjoyable in Twin Peaks.
Okay.
So another David Lynch tie-in, right. Yeah. Coincidentally.
Just refresh my... brief memory here. Did you just say that Boxing Helena had the most reviews?
Yes, it has the most by
quite a bit.
Like 5,000.
Yeah. So
more
definitely
than the next.
Definitely there's an agreement here that this is just not a good movie. This is almost
seems
like
to
a,
be
a straight
the general
to,
consensus.
A straight to VHS 90s just yeah, okay. That's interesting.
So having just watched this movie last night, I think, I am very surprised at how low that is, because I seriously thought I genuinely liked that movie and not in an ironic way where it's like, oh, this is a bad movie. It's just fun to watch. I actually thought it was like very interesting, and I didn't think it was poorly done. I thought it was like a really interesting, well done, erotic thriller. 90s erotic thriller. I mean, as good as 90s erotic thrillers can be.
Yeah, there's a
bar. I thought it was a good one. Yes, so like after it was over, my girlfriend actually had seen it before, but she hadn't seen it since like years and years and years ago. So she was happy to revisit it. And after it was over, I mentioned like, yeah, I read that Jennifer Lynch wrote this movie whenever she was like 19 years old. And the first thing that my girlfriend said was, yeah, I can tell. And I was like, what? I thought this was interesting. I mean, it's not like it's an amazing Academy Award movie or anything, but I thought it was well done personally.
Well, I mean,
to each their own.
But also, I guess you also got to take it from the perspective of a 19-year-old did that. And then not only that, but like a 19-year-old did that and then like held on to it and fought for it.
Yeah, and then she ended up, fought for it and then was able to actually direct it herself. Like,
right.
I think she was like 24 or 25 whenever the movie came out. So.
Yeah, so you take it from that perspective of a 19-year-old wrote this and you can tell, but it's also like, but a 19-year-old who was inexperienced also made, you know, what it is.
Yeah, and there's the whole thing where people might say like, oh, well, she's David Lynch's daughter, but in this interview where these quotes came from, she specifically talks about how like being David Lynch's daughter like that's not impacting anything.
Yeah, it
doesn't
David
impact
Lynch
anything. Like they don't want a woman to direct this movie for whatever, because it's the early 90s, I guess, and women can't be making movies.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and until like Sofia Coppola does The Virgin Suicides, and then even then, I don't think people were very eager to have women making movies.
Yeah.
Still,
but, only if your dad is super famous.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's another case. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of quote, I do believe it is time for the best segment of the show.
Well, we're gonna have like a sad quote because there is not a quote. So what I did.
Ooh.
Instead of a quote.
Oh, okay. You made up one. You wrote your own.
I went to the trouble, Will.
Watching all three movies.
Of deep dive digging.
You found the scripts.
And by deep dive digging, no. I looked at the posters.
Oh.
For all three of them.
Okay. But wait, they usually don't put quotes on posters, do they?
Not typically, no. Unless it's a review quote, a pull
so
quote from
the
review.
I guess the review. Okay, great.
No. I took down a tagline off of one of these posters.
Okay.
I'm going to read you this tagline, and you're going to tell me which movie this tagline goes
to. This is actually on the actual marketing posters for one of these three films.
Yes.
You grabbed the tagline from that.
Yes, and I'm excited to read it.
Okay, here we go.
So if you
wait.
If you go
to tagline,
tagline,
tag it.
If you pull up the IMDb page for the movie that we're about to go over, this tagline is on the like the featured poster artwork on the IMDb page. So. I put no quotes good enough to pull. So which film poster features this tagline? And the tagline on the poster reads as follows: a new dimension of fear, all caps fear. That's it.
A new dimension of fear.
Yes.
A new dimension of fear. A new dimension of fear. I mean, I hate taglines like that.
No, it's like you can put this on
anything.
A thousand different movies.
On anything that like a marketing exec never watched and just wanted to push this in the home video market. Especially, we have 293 films on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
And just to be clear, only one of these films had a quote section, and there were only two or three quotes that were listed in that section, and just none of them were good enough to use, and
right.
That's why I ended up doing
okay.
this.
So a new dimension of fear. Is this maybe a possible reference to Argento? Maybe?
In what way is that a reference to Argento?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, this is like him dealing with... I don't know.
not to confirm nor deny whether or not your guess
I was,
you
were just
your
trying
thought
to
process
how
is
I
correct.
Came up
but
with that. I,
yeah.
I was just thinking, like, you know, it's his American kind of... I guess you said it was his debut... His first American film?
Yeah, his first American production.
So maybe that's what they were just going off of? Because like the name Argento, I'm sure, is going to be on the box or on the poster somewhere.
You've seen this Italian do it in Italy.
Yeah, right.
Let's see his American perspective.
Right, maybe. Okay, so maybe it's not, though. I just don't know if it's... because, well, I guess maybe it could be Boxing Helena because, I mean, it... She didn't want it to be a horror film, straight horror film. But did she have control over the marketing? I don't know.
I'm sure these producers who didn't want a woman to direct it didn't allow her to have any hand in the marketing, probably.
Yeah. And then what was the third film again? The middle film?
Gina.
God, that's so
yep.
That's a simple title. I keep forgetting it.
Yeah. Or Gina, whichever.
Okay, I don't think it's
one.
Gina, because that just doesn't fit at all. So I think Gina's out. I think it's like a reference. I want to say, I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, maybe not. Maybe it is Boxing Helena, because maybe they're saying a new dimension as far as like, this is from a female writer and a female director. And also dimension as far as like the measurements of a box.
There you go. I was waiting. I thought you were going to laugh as soon as I read it because of that.
So I'm going to go with now Boxing Helena, a new dimension of fear. Okay, Boxing Helena, locking it in.
Boxing Helena, a new dimension of fear. What a bunch of fucking assholes.
13 by 48 by 12, a new dimension of fear.
Well, it's not that movie. It's Trauma.
Good. Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. But like... That is such a shitty fucking tagline for that movie. Even based on that description, I don't understand.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It's weird.
That's the only reason why I said it is like it's because it's based off of Argento's name. Is because they really didn't know how to like sell this movie type thing, you know, and also have his name on the box.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people would have suspected that it would have been a certain type of film. And mm-hmm. I don't know much about this film, but just from what you've said, it doesn't sound like this is typical Argento, like Giallo films. Is it? Have you seen this? You haven't seen this, have you?
I haven't, but I mean, it's a man helping a girl find a serial killer.
Yeah,
who murdered her
it definitely
parents
could be, but I just wonder if it's because it's in the 90s, if maybe it's a different, I don't know. It could also be very, very much Argento, and they just fucking marketed it horribly, which is what happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know. I haven't watched a trailer for it or anything. I've never seen this.
I just felt like
clip.
That was my reasoning, even though I didn't go with it. My reasoning was that it's Argento, so let's figure out how to make this pop on the shelves of the video store. And you just put like new and improved horror. And it's like, okay, I'll check this out. Right. Even though it's not new or improved.
And then we'll also mention those movies y'all like that he did like 20 years ago.
Yeah. from the director of, and then like 9 things half the people haven't even seen yet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm now really curious. So I love the concept of Boxing Helena. I think the title makes me laugh so hard.
Pick up a Blu-ray copy of it from sloppysecondsales.com for like sales. $10 or something.
And with bonus features.
Yeah, in laser disc quality.
I'm really curious. You have seen this movie.
Yeah. Very recently, like within a day or two.
Okay, so maybe this isn't a good avenue to go down. But I was curious whenever you first read the synopsis for it. Like what process the surgeon went through in removing the limbs of this person? Like what, like was it, is it, very medically done, like precise, or is it more of a hack job?
None of it is done on screen.
Oh, fantastic. So this is a deleted scene. Okay.
But yeah.
Deleted scene from Boxing Helena. It's on the Sloppy Second Sales Blu-ray special features. I'm sure of it. So go there and buy this and you'll get to see this scene. And the scene is that was deleted. It's not even in the director's cut. It is the scene where Helena's limbs are removed. So, and also just sidebar. So you're telling me that she goes from a full normal woman to a torso in a scene?
Yeah, she goes from like super hot tip top Sherilyn Fenn early 90s legs, arms, head, the whole deal. Boobs
I'm
that you see.
I'm glad her legs and arms were also early 90s.
Yeah. She goes from that. So she loses her legs first.
Okay.
And so she has arms.
So there is a process.
Yes.
Okay. So like, so he's doing this in steps. Okay. So then there's two deleted scenes. there's the leg
the
scene.
The leg scene.
And the arm scene.
Well, I'll have to mention that the legs, again, you don't see him like physically remove anything. It's just like the next day and she had those limbs are gone.
Okay.
And it's like revealed that they're gone. But the legs is the only one that you kind of know is about to happen because she like unexpectedly she gets run over by a car. And it runs over her legs.
Oh, okay.
Out in front of her or out in front of his mansion. And then it like blacks out and then it comes to and she's like in the bed and she wakes up and she doesn't have legs.
Oh, okay. So it's set up in the sense that like this was medically necessary.
Yes. However, clearly disturbing though also because he literally works in a hospital as a surgeon, but he does not take her to the hospital.
Yeah. So yeah. It's questionable, but it's like, you know, I had to do this to like, you know, stop the blood flow or whatever. Yeah. Okay. And then we find out that like, no, he did this on purpose. Okay. Okay. So we can probably say then that the legs were done surgically. We'll just say that. Okay. So let's skip that deleted scene. Let's go straight to the arms. So I want to know what happened to elicit the arm removal. you said that she got hit by a car and that elicits the leg removal, or at least seemingly does.
Mm-hmm.
What is the setup and then payoff of the arms?
In terms of like the act of him physically removing them?
That, but also is there something equivalent to a car hitting her? Like does he force her to do like the monkey bars and like her shoulder dislocates?
He's like, well, those are no good anymore.
Those gotta come off.
He also has a British accent, by the way.
Gosh.
Because
I'm sure.
No, there's not.
I'm sure in this part of the movie, you know that he's doing it because he's bad, right?
You know that very well. Okay. Yes. Like the movie follows him
and
primarily,
and you watch him
stalk her and. I don't think she is aware of demented
she's just waking up with like one limb less each day and being like, how does this keep happening?
Before she wakes up without legs, which is both of them gone at the same time.
That's a good title, by the way.
Before she wakes up without legs?
Yeah, before she wakes up without legs. That's the next S. Craig Zoller film is Before She Wakes Up Without Legs.
Before that happens, she is just like, leave me alone. I don't think she is aware of like how demented he is or is going to be, but she's just more annoyed with him, like, leave me alone, like we had a thing,
because she moved on, I have no feelings for you. Oh, right.
Yes, exactly. So the car situation is why she loses her legs. Like, that's the direct action that causes him to remove her legs.
Yeah.
There is a direct action that causes him that justifies, at least in his head, removing her arms. However, it's not an accident or a physical thing like that. It is like, it is an event that triggers him that makes him remove her arms.
She flips him off.
Yeah, she's like, how do you like that?
she like waves at a cute guy and he's like, no. I just love the idea. I love the idea that like she wakes up every day and she's like, oh my God, again?
God damn it.
This can only happen one more time.
How am I going to get out of this one?
So let's say that he also surgically removes her arms.
Yes.
And you, the viewer, but also you having just viewed this, you know what this action is that you speak of, but you're just not saying it because of spoilers, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we can't do that clearly. Does he tell her what this action is? Does she find out what this action is? Is she aware of what this action is?
Not directly, no. Okay. He doesn't. No.
So let's say that the deleted scene is
her trying to like is her like going through her head like, what did I do?
What did I do this time? Yeah, exactly. It's like she wakes up because it's the sequel to Before She Wakes Up Without Legs. It's after she wakes up without arms. In the movie after she wakes up without arms, the immediate moments of like, you know, your alarm's going off and just that almost reflexive action of just like rolling over and like slapping snooze.
She's like a puppy that you yell at because it peed in the floor and it's like, what did I do?
Yeah, so she can't even turn off her alarm clock, right? Which is what he just does to torture her. He sets the alarm clock just knowing that she can't shut it off. Before he comes into the room, I'm assuming he sees her at some point in time armless. What is the thought that goes through her?
He removes her arms and then refuses to look at her again. He like
what? What if he was only infatuated with her limbs? He's like, I'll keep these for myself.
Oh God.
Okay. So what is the thing that goes through her head? It's the if there was a director's cut that had to be cut for time, what is the 30-second scene with one line that would be in IMDb if it existed, of her waking up with the arms that happens. Like, what is this scene?
Oh God, what did I do?
No, I think it has to be, oh God, what did I do this time?
War.
Okay, I think that's it. God. What was that called again?
Oh man.
I still think the tagline should be like 13, 27, 48. Like just inches.